So last week we talked about evangelism in the workplace. We talked about being Christ's ambassadors, about how evangelism is not an imposition, as some might say. We talked about some barriers to evangelism, walked through some private and public habits of a workplace evangelist. Before we get into today's lesson, though, I want you to think about your dream job. Yeah, turn it on. Think about your dream job. This could be how you would tailor your current job to perfection, perhaps. I'm sure if the perfect opportunity came up, even the most loyal employee would jump ship, as they say. Or maybe go back to when you were a child. What did you want to be when you grew up? Grace, for example, wants to be a firefighter. Everything else is filtered through that, the lens of a firefighter. We'll ask her this morning. She says she wants to be a firefighter and then a doctor for kitties and puppies. That's great.
I want
to
be a doctor or a dinosaur.
Right, yeah.
In that order.
Do you have a perfect job, or was there a job when you were a kid that you were like, that's what I'm going to do?
I think I was the airline stewardess.
Airline stewardess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah.
Yeah, go all over the world.
I wanted to be a spy in the CIA for a while. That would be pretty cool to like, live a double life.
Had something that you couldn't tell everybody.
Yeah, I always want a job where I can be like, I can't tell you.
This
right.
Job is seriously overrated.
A lot more PowerPoints than maybe you would.
you would like. That's funny.
Did you have a dream job growing up?
I already did it. Wanted to be a soldier.
Okay. I was curious. I don't know what Grace is going to be. I suspect she will maybe not be a firefighter, maybe a veterinarian. I don't know. But often the dreams that we have as children don't work out. So. all right. Well, today we're going to consider searching out jobs and leaving jobs well. So before we get started, let's pray. Yeah, Lord, yeah, as we think about dream jobs, God, those which, maybe we had as a child, or maybe still have, God, we know that, our desire in this area is just a small part of where we'll end up. God, you have plans for us, good plans that we do not know yet. And so we pray as we consider our jobs, jobs that you may call us to leave or to find other employment, God, that you would help us in those things, God, that we would not just consider our own interests, but consider how you have called us to live and work, how we can serve others as well. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So consider in these present economic times where, I don't know that we're actually in a recession, but there's talk of that, right? How has the industry you work in been affected? In my field, in the tech sector, I looked at some article this morning. It said some 140,000 jobs were cut last year, and just shy of 100,000 already cut this year. The particularly deep cuts at FANG. Is anyone familiar with the term FANG? Facebook, Apple. What's the other A? Amazon, Netflix, and Google, right? Amazon cut 18,000 jobs. Google cut 12,000 jobs. Facebook cut 11,000 jobs. So, and thinking about leaving and searching for jobs, depending on where you stand, this class may be seen as extremely relevant, right? If you are in need of employment, or it may seem today extremely irrelevant, right? As the thought of competing in a sea of eager applicants could seem pretty daunting. Despite where you are now, though, choosing a place for employment is likely something we'll need to do several times in our lives. And each time our choices are significant because our work takes up typically one of the biggest chunks of our lives. So it would be wise for us to consider how taking up and laying down our jobs serves Jesus. But why? Why is it important for us to consider how we serve Jesus when choosing a job? Why is it important to consider how we serve Jesus in choosing a job?
Well, one reason would be the work you do as if you're doing it for Him.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, we have gone many times to Colossians 3:23, that we ultimately work for Jesus. We work for the Lord and not for men, right? Yeah. So if we're going to find a job, we should consider how we serve Jesus in that job, because He is who we will work for. Yeah.
But depending on who you work for, you could suffer a lot more for Jesus than you might not have to.
That's true, yes. Yeah, we will consider that today. Right. For sure, yes. Yeah, you know, we've given our lives to Jesus, and work is a big part of our lives. And so, we should consider how to serve Jesus in our jobs. So we're going to be thinking about priorities today. Are there jobs that hinder our ability to be faithful to Christ? Are there jobs that hinder our ability to be faithful to Christ?
Yes.
Yes, I think so. We'll get into that a little bit more in a bit. Maybe you felt that before, right? Choosing a job poorly or unwisely may put unnecessary stress on your Christian walk and may be difficult to undo, right? Maybe you take a job for more money, which isn't inherently bad, but that comes with increased stress, and your lifestyle expands into a more costly realm to accommodate and soften that increased stress. And this could be a trap, right? Maybe now you have a mortgage which requires that increased amount of money in your paycheck, and you may feel like you are stuck in a cycle of overly stressful jobs to not end up homeless, right? This can create a false base that we can use to pile up other decisions on top of. Finances are just a single aspect of our jobs we should consider when considering how to please Jesus in choosing a job. Let's think broadly, though, about how we can be wise about choosing a job. So before we specifically think wisely, what are some things that people, both Christians and non-Christians alike, typically consider when searching for a new job?
Location.
Location, yeah.
Salary,
sure.
Schedule,
yeah. Maybe they do or don't want to work the night shift, right?
Difficulty.
Yeah, difficulty, right? Maybe how that matches with their skill set. Yeah. Well, why do people think about these things? What context or who is the subject that people make these decisions primarily around?
Themselves.
Yeah, absolutely, themselves, right? And this is understandable. We are a significant actor in our employment, right? I wouldn't go ask, if I was applying for a job, I might ask Frank for advice, but I wouldn't ask what his skills are and what his schedule is necessarily. Maybe we've got a great discipling relationship that I want to keep up. But yeah, we are a significant actor, but I'm not even sure we're the primary actor in our jobs, right? Are we the primary actor in anything? Maybe not. Can someone read Matthew 22, 34 through 40?
Matthew
22, 34 through 40.
What?
Matthew 22, 34 through 40.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands." While the Pharisees were together, Jesus questioned them.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
The next part is my favorite.
All right, is it appropriate, consider these, this section here, is it appropriate for us to apply this to our employment considerations?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
That's your question.
Yeah. Why? Why is it appropriate to consider the two commandments that Jesus gives us here?
What chapter was that again?
22. Well, look at verse 40, right? It says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets, right? This is
summary.
Yes, this is a summary of the Old Testament at least, right? So it's appropriate for us. So we're going to
draw a nice little picture.
Uh-oh, it's writing.
Draw a pyramid.
You have layered the pyramid.
I have layered the pyramid, yes? So let's draw and help us consider our priorities in everything, but particularly today in choosing employment.
Are we foundationalizing?
We are foundationalizing.
Got it.
What a great word.
I made that up just now.
So how does this pyramid line up to what we see in Matthew 22?
It's completely opposite.
Yeah, he thinks that it should be, the pinnacle should be God.
Okay.
But you're building things.
Okay,
he's
yeah.
building things. He's
this has to stand, this is a thing that we want to stand up.
Okay, so now I don't understand.
Okay, yeah. No, but that's... this is not the pinnacle. Right, as we might think. We're talking about on how does our decision stand, put it that way. So how does this match with Matthew 22?
On how does our decision stand, yes.
Well, what was the first commandment?
Love the Lord your God.
Yes, to love the Lord your God, right? That is the foundation of how we're even able to obey the second commandment, which is to
love
others. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So we are anchored in considering first how we are obeying God and loving God on the bottom.
Yourself, because you gotta love yourself first.
That's right. But first comes neighbor.
Start on the bottom.
No, I got the God.
He doesn't say love your.
When you build a pyramid,
love yourself
start
like
the bottom,
you love your neighbor. Yeah. I see you.
Next time you build a pyramid.
No, I got that part.
Love yourself comes naturally, loving others.
You gotta love your neighbor like you love yourself, so you gotta love yourself first.
I got what you're saying, but that's not what the pyramid says.
Except for the self-loathing folks.
Yeah.
Is it? Loving yourself does come natural.
Yeah.
Self-esteem.
Yep.
Interesting.
Right, so considering how... First, we should consider how we are obeying, loving God on the bottom, next, serving others in the middle, and finally, pleasing ourselves on top. If we're counting area, least amount of area here, getting to that point, third. So we're going to consider six questions we can ask ourselves in seeking employment, three must-haves and three nice-to-haves. But before we do, any thoughts or questions so far?
Joy.
Jesus Christ himself. Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good acronym. All right, let's first consider three must-haves. A must-have when considering employment is, can this job glorify God? Now, that may sound like a very complicated question, but in reality, every job that's not inherently sinful can glorify God. It can show off how amazing he is. So while you can't be a hitman or a drug runner or staff an abortion clinic, the door is pretty wide open here, right? We don't have a list of applicable jobs here in the Bible, so lines can be blurry with respect to people's consciences, but this is a great place to start to help filter out some of the noise of employment. Can this job glorify God? Number two, does this job permit me to have a godly life? Does this job permit me to have a godly life? Consider, will this job allow me to obey God in every area of my life, or will it mean I have to sacrifice obedience in other areas? Right? Sometimes when we're making considerations in our head, we can be, particularly around employment, we can think of a faithfulness or obedience Ponzi scheme, right? Where I sacrifice some faithful obedience in one area of my life for a perceived increase in faithfulness somewhere else. All right, we should be very hesitant to do that. Consider, will this job allow me to love my spouse well, to parent my children well? Will it allow me to obey God by having a rich relationship with a local church? The job necessarily means I'll have to disobey God in other areas of life. Then in all likeliness, it's a job. Is it a job I should be considering? All right? And this is not to say that in certain seasons, certain callings of God may look different. Particularly, the example I'll usually go to is service members who are deployed. Right, they may, in a season, not be connected to a local church or not be able to regularly attend a local church. It would be good for them to be connected so that they could be prayed for well, their family could be cared for well. In most typical circumstances, we should be considering, does this job permit me to live a godly life? So, some sub-thoughts to consider here. Will this job allow me to be faithful in my other assignments? We've talked about work-life balance before in previous weeks, but this isn't solely about time. Consider how much mental energy you have with that remaining time, right? Are you able to engage with your family, your neighbors, your friends? If not, consider, is that okay for a period of time? How long would be too long before the assignments Jesus has given me in other areas be unsustainable? How long before they would fall apart? Be wary of your job becoming your identity. And I think to consider, right, as you if you were to consider these questions when applying for a job, there's an opportunity in the interview process to yourself consider to create and ask questions around these things, right? Like, typical hours are 9 to 5 or whatever. What does outside work look like? What does stress level look like? If I'm put on a high stress project for a season, is there structures inside the company to put me on something less demanding for a time of rest after that? These opportunities that we have to create and ask questions in the interview process around this. A second sub-thought here is, will this job allow me to be involved in my local church? And so this isn't saying inherently that all church-related activities are better than activities outside of the church. It might make sense for an elder to step down in a particular season to advance a career because of the ways that may open up better obedience and fruitfulness for that individual. But while things at church aren't necessarily more important than things in the workplace, a wise Christian life is nearly always a life centered around the local church. A typical Christian will serve Jesus better over the course of his life if he prioritizes his ability to invest in the local church when making career decisions, not the other way around. So consider this too. What would you say is easier to find, a good church or a good job? And when I ask this, I'm saying use the same meaning of good for both. A church that is faithful and a job where you can be faithful in it.
I think it depends on the season.
Okay. Yeah, it probably depends on the area too.
Not every job is conducive to going to church Sunday morning. Just because it's not doesn't mean that you as a Christian can't have that job.
That's right.
You know, like custodial work, for example, a lot of them are done at night. Right?
Yeah.
If you're working overnight, Saturday night, you may not be able to go to church Sunday morning. You know, to work all night.
Right.
That means as a Christian, you can't have that job because you can't go to the gatherings. I don't know, but I'm just saying, depending on your season in life, but just because a job isn't conducive to the local church, there's other ways to connect with the local body.
Yep.
If you're in that situation as opposed to being totally disconnected.
Yeah. And some churches may meet, you know, more in the afternoon or evening on, yeah, on Sundays, which could be opportunities there.
Do Sunday night service, Wednesday night, things like that. But I'm just saying, just of your criteria, it's not always going to be, I can't go to church Sunday morning, so I shouldn't have this job.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the command in Scripture in Hebrews 10 is don't forsake the gathering. Right. It's like,
right,
it's not don't abandon specifically Sunday mornings. So most churches meet on Sunday mornings, so there's maybe wisdom and prudence in that. But yeah, as a strict rule, yeah, that doesn't inherently preclude. But yeah, I might say that it's, again, there's other factors, but I might say that it may typically be harder to find a good church than a good job. So if you're looking to move, consider finding a good church first, then find a good job that allows you to be involved in that church.
If you're moving because of that will allow you maybe to find a good church that would allow you to gather, like if you work hours and you can't, you know, find a church that meets in the afternoon or something, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, it just depends on where you're at in your situation.
Yeah, and yeah, so we can't you know, there are extenuating circumstances and probably any individual decision. But even in considering, you know, if you're in the military, yeah, you're probably going to move, right? So that's going to dictate. But sometimes moving in a job is not a requirement in the same sense. Or it may be an opportunity.
Most jobs, right, that would be not forcing to find you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
except
so
for the military. I was thinking military. So.
Yeah, right. That's, and you know, in this area too, and yeah, with many people's backgrounds. But yeah, in considering maybe whether to move, whether to take a position, consider, is the area that you're going to, is there a strong local church that I can be involved in? Right. It's going to be helpful to have that as a helpful criteria to maybe even decide should I take that position, or even in a job where it is more mandatory that you move, maybe a company is moving. Yeah, inability to find a good church to fellowship with in a new area may be God pushing you to look for employment elsewhere.
It could be. Yeah.
It could be.
It's hard to find. I think God has good churches wherever you may end up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You just have to be faithful in finding it.
Yeah.
There are
unreached places on the earth, right?
In the U.S., at least here in the United States, I don't think there's a place you can go that you can't, somewhere within even like a 40-mile radius, find a good church. You know, 40, 50-mile radius, find a good church that you can be a part of.
Yeah. Maybe. I would say just make sure, put a priority on that consideration in there. Don't
sure.
don't leave that as an afterthought.
No. No,
make that a consideration.
After I became a Christian, the first thing I did was find a church.
Amen.
You know, if I'm at first go to the chapel and see,
yep,
you know, or
or see, you know, get plugged in somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so, but there's always a place to get plugged in. That was my point. I was always able to find a place to get plugged in. So.
Yeah.
That's why the Praetorian Project is such a great idea.
Yeah, right? Yes, to ensure, to be proactive in that, right? Ensure that there is a solid Reformed gospel preaching church at each military location for those who are, their job dictates that their family move. Yeah, amen, amen to that. All right. All right, third subpoint in considering here. Does this job permit me to live a godly life? Is, do the temptations of this job reinforce my besetting sins? Someone have an idea what I mean by when I say besetting sins?
Sins that you're more inclined towards.
Yes, right? Yes, that might be more threatening.
Temptation more than others.
Yes, right? So a couple of examples here. If you have trouble with pride or narcissism, then perhaps being a YouTuber or social media influencer star is not the right choice for you, right? There may be other reasons as well. Yeah, yeah. Or if you have difficulty with honesty, then maybe sales, right, which can predicate on dishonesty, right? Maybe that would be an unwise choice. Can you think of other examples of jobs, not jobs that we would preclude, right, the hitman, the drug runner, because they are inherently sinful, but can you think of other examples of jobs that that might not be good fits for those who have are particularly given to certain
sins. You're a glutton, maybe you should learn a pastry chef.
Yeah? That may give you a particularly fantastic taste for those pastries. But yeah, maybe glutton. Yeah. Maybe that's a bad idea.
Like, not drug runner, but like, if you deal with addiction issues, maybe like being a server where you're supposed to like be a bartender, it might not be. That's
yeah.
Not listed as like, you can't serve alcohol in the Bible. Right. If that is a issue for you, then that would not be a wise job for you.
Or a pharmacist.
Yeah, right.
A little harder.
But yeah, so consider, there may be jobs which are difficult for you to do faithfully given sins that you have certain proclivity to. So, that job would hinder your ability to serve God well. So there's a lot here. This can be a tough one. Consider if the job will permit me to live a godly life. All right, number three on the must-haves for considering a job is, does this job provide for my needs and allow me to be a blessing to others? Can someone read 1 Timothy 5:8?
But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
All right, so I want to take this a little carefully, but generally, if you choose a job that uses your gifts or is fun or satisfies your needs, but does not allow you to provide the basics for yourself and your family, the Bible says you are living in sin, right? It's worse than an unbeliever. So, yeah, it's important to note that what providing for means here. In chapter 6, verse 8, Paul will say, but if we have food and clothing with these, we will be content. And he warns against those who desire to be rich. So provide here doesn't mean, fast cars and, every luxury under the sun.
Needs, not wants.
Right, yeah. So also consider verse 6 here in chapter 5. Is a warning against self-indulgence. Right? We may face affliction in our jobs where we are not paid rightly or are oppressed and may be unable to provide. This charge here, as we want to consider, is about making sure we are considering serving others before pleasing ourselves. right? Particularly our own family.
What verse was that again?
This was 1 Timothy 5, verse 8. So any other thoughts on needs that we should consider when looking for or leaving a job? All right, let's get in.
I was going to say, too, I think just if the job's, like, too demanding of your time and you're not able to, like, provide, not just, like, you can provide all sorts of things, but if, like, you can't teach your kids, or if you can't like train them up or spend time with them, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not participating in your family, then that would be like, you should probably look for another job. If you're like spending all your time working and not able to do like other spiritual things too, not just like physical needs, but like providing like spiritual and emotional needs too.
Yeah, that's a great point, right? Like, yeah, providing here isn't just, you know, buckets of money for them to have whatever they want. Actually, God has given us responsibilities as parents, as family members, whatever stage of life that we're in, that we must consider how we're fulfilling, even in our work. Can't be the bank. Can't just be the bank. That's right. You are more than a bank. All right. Let's consider a couple nice to haves. Number one, does this job have potential to improve me as a person? All right. So these are all nice to have things, right? Not required. But consider how this job will affect me as I mature in faith and as a person, right? If I'm single now, will this job allow me to continue to mature and support a family, right? Is it growing me in a particular skill set that is in demand, right? This is a part of the curriculum I found interesting to consider. Are you building, is your job building you a skill that is in demand, right? If we think about that, if with an in-demand skill, you have leverage over what you can make monetarily by increasing your skill, right? In contrast, if your leverage comes from your time, then your ability to increase income is only to work more hours. So this is something to consider, right? A nice to have. You may not have the luxury based on your stage of life, or your particular circumstances, but yeah, consider if you're able to build an, if your job is able to build in you an in-demand skill, that's going to give you leverage in the future where you maybe want to take time off or have other other abilities. Any questions on that specifically? Number two, does this job use my gifts and talents, right? God often will use our abilities to steer us to certain jobs. That was abundantly clear to me after my student teaching. That was something that I was not gifted to do, and God was steering me elsewhere. So can you think of people in the Bible that God gifted to do specific work? I prevented the kid from running into the woods when he.
Yeah.
Special skill set.
Yeah.
Can you think of people in the Bible who God gifted to do specific work?
Moses.
Noah. Yeah.
Moses wasn't gifted.
Yeah. Or at least his perception was that he wasn't gifted.
God gifted him.
Yeah. Okay. So God, let me frame it a little bit. God naturally gifted versus grew an ability in.
Yeah, well, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
That's true. He gave, yeah.
Solomon,
right? Yeah, he gave him wisdom. Same yeah. Thing. But okay, so let's qualify a little bit more. Where God will designate between God's giving of a gift and God's working despite a lack of a gift. All right, so it'll be a little easier when we get to. We'll start with the God-giving gift. So, like Joseph, right? Joseph had gifting to administrate Pharaoh's kingdom, right? That was some gifting that was not apart from God. Obviously, God gave it to him. But that was something that he, as we read that, seems to have kind of a natural ability, affinity to. You know, David, the warrior poet, right? He had some natural, again, gifting from God, but in that. So the opposite, you know, I would say Moses, God speaks to him and works through him. Moses' perception is that he doesn't have any skill in this area. He wants to defer that. He wants Aaron to take over there.
Feel this pain.
Or you think of Gideon, right? Gideon, who's so timid and, you know, faithless to start, you know, keeps pestering God to prove himself to him again and again. God works despite that with a small army to take down their enemies. So yeah, consider, has God given you a specific gift or talent in an area that there's, you know, a synergy there in your gifting? But don't hold too fastly to that, right? Could be a situation where God just wants to display that despite your incompetence, he's amazing. Third nice to have is this job something I want to do? And so this is our last question, right? And it can be dangerous to ask. God lovingly cursed work to futility so that we might not idolize it, but it is worth asking. A job you enjoy can pay dividends in other areas of your life, right? What are some benefits to the Christian life for enjoying your job? What are some benefits to the Christian life when you enjoy your job?
Less stress.
Yeah, less stress.
Happiness. You know, yeah, just a better attitude. So what's that saying? You can do what you love.
You never work a day in your life? There you go. That's right.
Lies. It's all lies.
It's all lies.
That curse is still there. Yeah.
You can love your job and you get a lot out of it. It would still be very stressful.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good. And so what are some negatives if you hate your job, right? If you hate your job, how's it going to affect how can that affect your Christian life?
Grouchy.
Yeah.
Temperamental.
Right. Lack of energy.
You make you question your faith. Yeah.
Hey, it make you question your faith. Like, is this the life that I signed up for? Yeah.
It can affect your health.
Yeah, it can affect your health. Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously. I mean, this is nice to have, but you can also do almost anything for a period of time. And there is something to be said of, like, doing a job you don't love well and not complaining about. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people, like, they are nice to have, but, like, that's not everyone gets to pick their job out of a list of these perfect opportunities. Like, a
right.
lot of times a job is a job that you go do well, and go home. Like,
yeah.
Especially, like, younger people, like, I mean, I sold ice cream at a baseball stadium. That's not going to be my career. Like, Griffin had out one store at skating rink the rest of his life. I mean, perhaps. But, like,
why not?
I guess this is more geared towards, like, careers. But, like, a job, there's jobs you just do well without complaining, glorify God how you can, and go home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Careers. Yeah, you don't live to work, you work for life.
And, yeah, and I don't think that we're guaranteed that God will give us a job we love, right? We consider Jonah. Right? God gives him a job that he despises, like, on a very base level, right? He's willing to be thrown into the ocean rather than do the job that God has called him to. And he does seemingly I'm always struck by what's recorded of his evangelistic message, which is in 40 days, the city's going to be wiped out. Like, the picture that we get when we read that is he says that and leaves. And God uses his terrible performance to save the city, right? Despite, and so in that, it wasn't about magnifying Jonah. It was about magnifying God and how great he is. So, you know, if there's an opportunity, if there's two jobs and there's an opportunity to prayerfully consider, should I take one that I will enjoy more? Again, like, consider the other things. Make sure I'm serving God, make sure I'm serving others. But, you know, a job that you take pleasure in is not inherently wrong. All right, let's talk real quick about leaving before we leave this room and go into our service. But yeah, leaving is a necessity, right? A Christian is going to realize that leaving a job might be a necessity. Why is that? Why might it be a necessity for a Christian to leave their job?
They could change your task or job requirements to do things that are inherently sinful.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah, it may take that first question we asked, can we do this well and please God? Yeah, can we glorify God in itself? That might no longer be possible. Yeah, so we might have to leave for that. Or why might God call you to leave a bustling, promising startup with plenty of room to grow in? Right, seemingly the perfect job. Why might God call you to leave that?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, right? Ultimately.
Felt led to leave and go to something else. That's it.
Yeah, God might have his purposes, right? Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think there's the case where maybe the job requirement changes and that then requires you to do something that would violate your conscience or violate God's commands. You may also become a Christian in a job that Christians cannot do, right? Our hitman example, I imagine it's possible that in heaven someone will have been saved after being a hitman. You think of Saul, right? He's kind of a hitman. Not quite as direct, but he's pulling strings for certain. But yeah, you might realize that your specific workplace situation is not bringing honor to God, not allowing you to fulfill your Christian responsibilities, not allowing you to serve others. And so, yeah, you might need to leave your job. So let's consider a little bit how to leave. I'll read Romans 12. 17 through 18, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think in reading this, we don't want to go out with a bang, right? You know, may have fantasies in our mind of leaving a job in a spectacularly, you know,
negative.
Catastrophic, negative way, right? How epic that might be. I think we should try not to do that, to seek not to do that, right? That is not living peaceably with all. That is not repaying, that is repaying evil with evil. That is not overcoming evil with good. So I think that means, you know, giving notice where possible. I think that means working to train replacements always. Don't be a single point of failure. Some of that too comes with what we considered earlier about seeking to work where your work is based on a skill and not just merely hours. Right? If you have a skill, you can train others up in that skill. You can do good to your company that way. You know, we talked last week about being an ambassador of Christ. Remember, in your work, you are an ambassador to Christ. I think us not holding our work position miserly, don't let it define you, and in a sense, always be prepared to leave, right? At any moment, God could call us home, right? So, we might not be able to give notice if that's the case. Always have the right frame of reference for what your work is and what it isn't in that sense. I had a quick thought on quiet quitting. Right, I heard the term a number of times lately, but hadn't really done any research. Did a very minor amount of research this morning. But it's basically an idea of putting in a minimal amount of effort at work just not to get fired. There's a movie, Office Space, which characterizes the life in IT. And there's a quote in it that the fear of losing my job will only make someone work hard enough not to get fired. So I think this kind of is along those same lines. So that movie came out like 20 years ago or something. So this is not a new.
We had a acronym for that.
Okay.
Road program.
Road program.
Retired on active duty.
Very nice. I think generally, too, in principles and thinking about this, we want our yes to be yes and our no to be no, right? We want to be honest with our employers. We, you know, presumably sign, have some kind of contract with them to perform duties that they pay us for. But I will say that I think this is an ungodly overreaction to overwork, but it does recognize that our job cannot be our ultimate purpose. So maybe this realization helps you to sympathize with coworkers who feel that they are in this situation. Maybe it's an opportunity for the gospel to say, hey, I agree with you. Your work should not define you. You are more than a bank. You are more than your job. You're created to praise and worship God. Any questions about leaving? All right, so consider our priorities in choosing jobs. There's a responsibility that we have, but also trust and accept that God is in control, right? I've had fortune in the jobs I've worked at to realize that He has directed those. Again, I thought I was going to be an elementary school teacher, and that was very clear that was not where God was calling me. Yeah, it's not a tumor. So above all else, trust in God as you choose a job. Jobs are temporary. God is eternal. If it looks like you may have to choose a job that isn't perfect for you, praise God and do it with all your heart. One day the job will end. And if it looks like you've landed the job of your dreams, work at it with all your heart. Remember, one day it too will end. Either way, you work for Jesus. You can trust He has good reasons for the work He is giving you to do. Let's close in prayer. Yeah, Lord, we are grateful for Your goodness. God, yeah, we see around us in every aspect of our lives the mar of sin. God, the toil of work. But God, You have promised that this will not be what defines us. God, that You valued us not because of our work, but because we were created in Your image, and You sent Christ to die and rose Him again so that we may have abundant life. God, we pray, that as we consider our work, that we would always view it in that light and look forward to the work of praising You forever in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.